This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. It's nice that the transition was pretty good, and some of you mistakenly thought it was me talking while it was Polka, I understand, but never, don't bother, it's all good. Anyway, I want to share with you something that it's consistent with what I normally do with my work and trying to bring things to the forefront of the surface, share with you as taxpayers. And I had a conversation yesterday with a middle-aged man. He and I were talking, and he said, you know, the media just doesn't do anything. They don't, and he left there thinking a little different. I'm learning that the media can shovel you truckloads of example after example after example of abuse and malfeasance and corruption in government, and that fifth arm of government, which you, I guess, because the ones that sit back and say the media does nothing or does little, I'm learning now. I don't believe that the people are geared up. I think they like to hear, but there's no action. So I'm going away thinking that blaming the media, they're not perfect. But if they got one story right, what does the citizens do as a follow-up? How do you pay respect to what was exposed? What I'm noticing is that we return to the ballot boxes and vote the same dudes in, and then we think we've done our bit, and then we go back to criticizing the media. And that's not defending the media, but I'm learning the hard way. You can just shovel it, intravenously feed it to them, conduct a brain surgery, and implant a chip that plays over and over all the corruption. I'm starting to believe that you, the citizen, is part of the problem. I mean, we've already suspected that, but I'm inclined now to believe it. So I'm going to add just a little more corruption to that debate or that discussion today. And I'm terming it or describing it or giving it the title Gravel Gate. You know, we have Watergate and other gates, but don't confuse it with Bill Gates now. This is corruption, malfeasance, threatening, intolerance, abuse of powers, and on and on, right? And so I got a situation here I'll share with you. I want to read first. There's a company called Roads and Highway Builders. And you know that I've brought you quite a bit about Department of Hawaii and Homelands and how it's just simply failing. And not just simply failing, but it's with intent. People unknowingly, people all the way from the governor, all the way from the Department of Interior, even our congressional staff, is allowing a crime to be perpetrated on the native people here by introducing people that are unskilled, have little or no management skills, or are just not intelligent. But they're willing to hold the door and act as body bouncers and bouncers to keep people out and defraud the native people of what is rightfully theirs. Forget the waiting for sovereignty and all of that. This is something that's in place, the Hawaiian homeland. So I will be rather harsh in my comments. It's there. You don't have to wait until Akaka and Inouye or anyone put together a bill. It's there. Hawaiian homelands is in place. But it is just completely infiltrated and operated by thieves, period. They won't allow me to exercise my right to get documents openly and transparently. They've now invoked a 10-day waiting period, so they say, per Darrell Young. And they have to go to the Attorney General to get approval, when in fact the law states, 82F states, that the public is allowed to go in and, under normal working hours to view records. So they've automatically impeded, or with intent, knowingly. So I want to read you something here. KITV did a story last week on a company you're familiar with called Road and Highway Builders, Highway Roads and Highway Builders, Highway Roads and Builders. I'm sorry, LLC. And that company has gotten, and we've talked about it, Honolulu, this is the article. KITV, Lori Yamada wrote this, and this was, she was the reporter. Tucked behind Barbers Point, newcomer road and highway builders has taken the unprecedented move of shipping in their business 55,000 tons of crushed rock every 3 months. It's taken a great commitment from us to get the right people and the right resources over here so we can come in and be effective, said Vice President Rick Thompson. He told KITV, a bad economy inspired the company to move resources from Nevada to Hawaii. And he said they found ways to save money, including shipping in high-grade aggregate that doesn't soak up as much of the pricey oil. By, quote, by reducing the amount of asphalt we use, it allows us to be competitive, he said. At the company's Kapolei paint plant, massive mounds of broken up old pavement sit next to clean, crushed blue rock. Thompson said 20% of the old stuff can safely be mixed with the new aggregate to save money. Mayor Caldwell, Kurt Caldwell, has promised to repave 300 lane miles every year for 5 years at a cost of $150 million a year. We're moving very aggressively, and we're not going to stop, said Caldwell. So, let's just talk a bit about shipping in. There's a deep draft harbor there at Barbers Point. And Road and Highway Builders, LLC, is situated on Hawaiian homelands in Kapolei or Kalailoa. The master lessee or permit holder, or RP, depending on what the Hawaiian homelands classify them as, is Pasha. Pasha then subleases, as I've talked about this. Pasha then subleases to Road and Highway Builders. And how do you suppose Pasha and Road and Highway Builders are allowed to ship in this 55,000 ton, I guess, of gravel from Canada, I'm told? And how do they get it to their plant from the ship? Well, I had heard that there was a, I'll describe it as a portal of sort, but I've come to call it gravel gate, where it's actually a physical gate that is placed across this road in Kalailoa that joins Barbers Point, the Tesoro plant. So when the DOT, the Department of Transportation, has its check stations for checking for weight and what have you, this gate is used with the permission and knowledge of the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, Kaleyang, and other management to actually aid Pasha and Road and Highway Builders to avoid detection by the Department of Transportation. I'm not lying, folks. This, in one instance, I've uncovered where Road and Highway Builders, I've talked to sources, and if you're listening, Road and Highway Builders, please get your lawyers and come my direction if you'd like, but the facts are the facts. And there is money that has exchanged hands to allow for Road and Highway Builders to knowingly offload their gravel with trucks overweighted riding on city street and state lands without ever being detected by the DOT. Now, I spoke to other sources who, several, who had always told me that what happens is that many truckers, untold numbers, that contribute to the bad conditions of our highways. And if you can believe this, that this one gate, P plays that role and serves as the portal or the allowance. It complements this illegal activity. So if you got a truck coming from Punalu'u and it's overweighted, and they know that it's overweighted, the driver knows it and what have you, so they drive our roads with overweighted trucks, contents possibly illegal, who knows. But let's just talk about the weight and the safety inspections and all of the trucks. So what you see is that they're coming from Punalu'u and they get on the freeway and they come through and they find their way and they get off at Renton Road or Bobber's Point or get off at the freeway and go, if there is a checkpoint for DOT going in the Kalailoa Boulevard in Campbell Industrial Park, where you have to go to the harbor, you hear from other truckers, so you pick up the phone, or you do it prior, and you call. And you call a certain number, and they allow you to enter through this gate to go around the state agency. Now, the sources that I've spoken to are directly involved say that Kalei Young, or Ward K. Young, the land manager for the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, is the one who knowingly instructed them to give keys and access to Pasha and Pasha's tenants. Now, that may not sound bad, but I just took some pictures of the street in which they use to sneak around. And so here's Caldwell, should do his homework and find out the integrity of these companies, because as I reported last week, that Road and Highway Builders was getting a special treatment from Ward K. Young, the land manager for DHHL, where he misrepresented that they, in suggesting that Pasha had an NPDS permit, non-point pollution elimination discharge system permit for stormwater runoff and what have you. He misrepresented that and suggested that they amended, that Pasha amended its complaint, as I shared with you. So, Road and Highway Builders was able to set up this business and then be facilitated by Kalei Young and others in the Department of Hawaiian Homelands. And one individual who's involved in this situation describes it as the trucks would be so heavy and they would spill some of the load. And I went over and I took pictures of some of the gravel that was spilled over, but they've cleaned a great bit of it up. But he said that for a 24-hour period, every 30 minutes, a truck would come through this gate to haul that 55,000 tons of crushed rock every 3 months. Now imagine what that's doing to the roads. And you'll see these pictures that I've taken where the asphalt on this particular road is breaking up in chunks. Now that's not to say every piece of it that's broken it can be attributed to or to Road and Highway Builders. Now imagine you didn't go and lease it directly through Pasha, and I spoke with Robert Cole or Coyle there at Pasha, and what I learned was that they don't consider Road and Highway Builders or its other 20 plus tenants, they carefully worded as their customers, but these customers are allowed to operate off of this facility. That's all under the management and ownership of the Hawaiian Homelands, but it's not being managed. And yet, their Hawaiian Homelands is attacking individuals. Mr. Daryl Young, for example, is in the process of sending people out, leasees or RPs, revocable permit holders, a right to entry for 30 days, and whatever they're doing must come into compliance. The question is, will he do the same thing for Pasha? The question is, will he put a stop to Road and Highway Builders, who has no NPDS permit? And though the DOH, Department of Health, says that they don't need a solid waste management permit, but the activity there is substantial. So this is this gravel gate. So what do we do? How do we arrive at this? The activity was so massive and such a heavy load, so to speak, it smashed the gate railing. And I'm informed that the owner of that gate, or the one that controls that gate, who actually put the gate up, asked that it be stopped. Now, here's the problem. You want to know what the mafia is? Put yourself in one of these people's places that see this, they object to it, they don't want to be a part of it, they know it's illegal. But when you see the land manager, Kalei Young or Ward K. Young, involved, as they describe it, this is their allegations, is that tomorrow morning, if they spoke out today to tell you, the taxpayer, if they came forward and say that someone gave me money or someone gave me favors or I was ordered by DHHL to allow this illegal activity, I would be shut down tomorrow, because that's the climate and the culture that exists in the Hawaiian Homelands Administration, which is Governor Neil Abercrombie. Because remember now, I just found out Puni Aloha Chi has now come aboard at DHHL to become the public relations person. You remember, some of you might know it, that Darryl Young worked for Nestor Garcia, and we know how upstanding Nestor Garcia was, and Darryl Young is in there now as deputy director of the Department of Hawaii and Homelands. And so for some reason now, just some magical way, Puni Aloha Chi is the public relations, or public spokesman, or communications person for the Department of Hawaii and Homelands. Now, we know where they went to school. They went to Nestor Garcia University, and they have two PhDs in that. And if you see Darryl Young, the way he presents himself, we don't want to go there. Because we don't want to, cases like Rice and Kamehameha schools. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go to the. This is the kind of things that happen. But what's going to happen when we present to him and the governor and Mayor Caldwell and the DOT that here is a conspiracy, and I don't mean in a mild way, a conspiracy to defraud the people of this state. Not to mention the Native Hawaiians, but one agency, one state agency facilitating an entity to defraud another state agency. And I'm not loosely using that, folks. I have the evidence and the documentation and the statements. And one would have to explain, how do you get the 55,000 tons per 3 months of rock to this site from the harbor? Secondly, how does one explain that you got 35,000 tons of asphalt, the old asphalt that they refer to in the KITV news report? And then there's the other 15,000 tons, which I reported to you, that sits on another piece of property. So what happens here? Is this a conspiracy? Is it the mafia? Is it just bad government, bad decisions? Well, I can only submit that I know instances where they take the little guy, and I'll describe that loosely, use it loosely as the little guy, and really go at him. And I don't want to sound like this is a defending George Grace, who owns a racetrack. I don't want to be caught in that context. I'm not defending, but I'm using to convey a message here and help you understand why I so quickly and describe this or characterize it as just mere corruption and fraudulent and criminal practices on the part of the governor himself. Because if he appointed these dudes to be there, and I've sent him a complaint, and I've sent him several complaints, but only and never received an acknowledgement that they even received the complaint. But I sent him one on Ward K. Young. We'll see how he does that. Darryl Young is soliciting information on wrongdoings on the part of the employees of DHHL or other activities. So in talking with some of these people that handle this situation, I'm there at Kali Law and the gravel and road and highway builders and the gate, I'm told that in order to kind of control it, to legitimize it, they place a security guard at the gate. And who do you suppose they tell me is the security guard company? Westbrook Security. As you recall, I've talked to you about Westbrook Security. Douglas Westbrook is the husband of the owner, Joanne Westbrook. And though he has claimed now that he is not the cousin of Mufi Hanneman, let's just submit this, that he had such unobstructed access to the Mufi Hanneman administration that will make you envious. So this is the way this game plays. Corruption? Is it political? Is it illegal? I don't know. But drawing from what I gather and the document and the information that I got and what I've seen with my own eyes and spent the better part of yesterday from the early part till about 6:15, 6:30, somewhere like that, tracking this down, filming and taking pictures and what have you. So now, you know, this is that moment where we, you know, I tell you, you're probably saying, that's enough of that, and we've had it. But hold your coffee, because I'm about to share with you a little bit more. You see, how does one operate in a climate so openly, because all the truckers know this happens. Why is it that the government officials don't know? Well, they're involved, as I've laid it out. There's one other tenant of interest in this situation, and that is John F. Souza. John F. Souza is the husband or spouse of Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa. Now, John F. Souza somehow obtained some kind of lot to store his equipment, his trucking equipment and construction equipment or whatever, and he's on the property. How is it that this could happen? How is it that the husband of a congresswoman, and by the way, when we loosely use this, yeah, I know that he has the company in his name, and it's his company, and it's not the Hanabusa's company. But does this seem to stink with the same old game with the Jeff Stone situation where she gets a discount on her house? This is not her trucking company, but it's her spouse, and subsequently down the road she's going to benefit financially in some kind of way, unless they spend their dollars to make sure, well, okay, we're going to take you to dinner, but I'm not never going to use any of this money for to take you to dinner, because this is money that I need to explain how I got a candy lease, a sweet deal. You see, so that's why I call it Gravelgate. And in talking to the manager there at the facility, Robert, I will call him Robert Coyle or Cole, Immediately, he tells I go to the security guard, pull up as any normal citizen, and I'm told, I need your driver's license. Okay. Be happy to give you one. That's why I got it, so I could show my pretty face. And, you know, I'm kind of cute, I must say, at my old age, gray-haired and cute. But he takes it and immediately hops on the radio and say, got Carol Cox up here. Who? Carol Cox. Okay. Well, where are you going, Mr. Cox? I'm going to see the manager. So they finally... I didn't get strip searched. I was waiting for that. I thought, well, at least give me some fun out of this. But it didn't happen. So I find my way down. And I'm curious now that Pasha has... or Pasha, some of you call it, has a number of buildings or tents erected. Are they in compliance with zoning? Or is the zoning... rules of the city and county of Honolulu do not apply on state land. If so, why is it that the city and county of Honolulu was haranguing and harassing the George Grace, requiring him to have certain permits? So this entire process now is just laden with corruption. So Mr. Cole tells me, who's the lady with you? Well, this is one of the Graces. I told George, John Souza, I told him that we didn't want no trouble. We didn't want this, and if you know, we're going to lease to you, but we don't want any trouble with the Graces. So this place called Kalailoa, I don't want to bastardize the Hawaiian language, but there's a lot of lies in that law. Lots. Lies that you and I will never uncover. But it's a funny thing that I have to go back and ask myself, how is it that Caldwell, and this fluff piece, this is all it was, you know, if you're going to pave the roads, go pave them. And if you're going to pave it, maybe you might want to ask the guy that's paving, that's getting the contract, is he really driving these heavy trucks around on city streets to bust them up so he can ensure himself create his job employment? Just joking. But you get the idea. So do we place this blanket of suspicion, this blanket of corruption, this blanket of just outright lying and being deceitful? And do you think the mayor or anyone, a Colleen Hanabusa, should extract herself and remove her husband from this process? I'd like to hear what you think in 524-1080. But that's not all of it. But again, when you are employing a company that will behave in such a fashion. Now, this isn't the only company now. There's several. The sources in close to this situation that are involved told me, gave me a number of names, and I'm still going to be following up and bringing you more on this. But the bottom line is, one state agency, the Hawaiian Homelands, Department of Hawaiian Homelands, is actually, and knowingly now, I'm not going to back down on this, knowingly, because they gave the keys and they've told the people and have scolded the people that objected, that let them have their way, and then place a security guard to keep away anyone that might want to or have the desire to report it to higher ups. Let them have their way, and who cares if they go around the DOT inspection site? Who cares if they avoid it? These are the things that were said, that were communicated to me, reportedly being told by, and even if they didn't say it, Kalei Young and the Hawaiian Homelands Upper Administration should know. How does this individual get this gravel to and from there? How does he do it each month? And let's see if this gate by tomorrow will be locked and closed and never allowed to be used again. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question? Okay, no patience there. But anyway, there are some problems here, folks. May not seem like a big deal, but when you're laying there in the bushes and you're sitting watching this and you're saying to yourself, how can this happen? How is it that an agency with the responsibility and the future, it has control over the people's lives, the native Hawaiians' lives, no matter how large or how small of a piece it is. If it only benefits 200 native Hawaiians, at least that's 200 that didn't suffer and was at least not made whole again, but at least an attempt to compensate. How does one justify this kind of behavior? How does this man, Kalei Yong, put his pants on in the morning and go to work, part of his entire psyche is to, he's dripping with conflict. And when I say that, dripping with people that I've spoken with, they're either doing his lawn, they're donating money to him for baseball, for the daughter, and these are the allegations that are going out there. Good morning, caller. Comment or question? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello. Well, I guess that must be Caldwell. Yeah, you get to talking. I'm going to be pushing the button.
Oh, hello.
All right. What you got to say? Anything?
I was actually just listening. I didn't realize I was calling in.
Okay.
Are you going to speak about HPU?
Pardon me?
I was listening because I thought you were going to talk about HPU.
Well, I might. You have something you want to talk about, HPU?
I can call back when you bring it up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I have a comment. This is Carolyn. And it just seems that for some reason, once people get elected or accept a job, they leave their credibility and their ethics at the doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And I really commend you for continuing to bring up problems that really affect us taxpayers. Because every time anything is abused or misused, and it costs us extra dollars to fix it, that really affects each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be more interest. And there should be people that want to stand up and stop this glad-handing of those elected officials and those people who continue to feed off the trough so that they can look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, just I guess that was my comment. I thank you for joining it, but it's not going to change until those of us in the listening, agenda
mm-hmm.
start doing something about it.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I guess what is it about a person that must be nuts when you do the same thing over and over, get the same results? I might have to check into a mental asylum because I know darn well that there's someone out there. If not just three of you, come join me. Let's start something, getting it to talk. Let's, if nothing else, sit around and watch the news stories. And when we see that they're cockeyed, but they're patronizing a company and selling us. I mean, it's no coincidence that the mayor would run out and with the road and highway builders, and they represented, for example, they moved from Nevada. He told KITV a bad economy inspired the company to move resources from Nevada to Hawaii. Okay, good. But why don't you tell them that you were on the Big Island and you constructed the portions of the Saddle Road, and you had a major contract there. And you didn't just move here because of the economy. You were already here. And in fact, I'm following up on a story, some allegations that you attempted to sell your company here and then no one bought it. So you decided to go ahead and put in for grants, put in for bids. You also didn't tell KITV that you were situated right there on the beach at Carlmy Loop, where I file complaints about the environmental impacts and that were potentially a threat to the shoreline. It was right on the shoreline, practically. It was just feet. They got a NPDES permit there for that after some while of checking and complaining. And even in that, Xu Min Liu, who is a inspector for the Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch at the Department of Health, served as their doorkeeper. Going as far as telling me, well, you asking things that you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's why I'm calling you to ask you for the permits. That's why I'm calling you to ask you for the inspections. They caught them in violation, but didn't cite them. I have pictures of materials that exceeded 8 inches, as the rules are, and then they still didn't cite them. So this road and highway builders is just one example. And I want to know, how is it that Hanabusa's husband gets involved? So if you need another reason to not to vote for Colleen Hanabusa, if you look, just in case you're looking, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but if you just were on the fence and you just think, well, she's a good girl, and then factor this one in. How do you become part of a circle of thieves? Repeatedly, how do you and claim that you congressionally you're motivated to do and serve for the people when everything we see that your hands are on when it comes to things, you seem to be doing well and we seem to be struggling just to eke out a daily life, the basics. How is it that do you want to continue to vote for someone like this? You can vote for who you want to, but the reality is, when it's sticky and slimy and wet and nasty, how do you hold your pen to check the ballot box? How do you? I mean, it's just, there's no way that while others are standing in line to get leases, revocable permits, they're going to the agencies and filing, seeking search warrants for the racetrack, going to charge $20,000 for not allowing people to come on and search a property. And then Colleen Hanabusa's husband walks in and leases or serves as a customer, whatever they want to describe it. You see, real cagey with the words. How is it that in this climate, and by the way, as I've said, I've laid it out, they don't arrive innocent and become corrupted. In this system, as I've witnessed it here in Hawaii, you're already sleazy when you cross that threshold, because the Nestor Garcias and all of those people are looking for people to prop their sleazy ways up where they can defraud the public constantly, day in and day out. That's the way the game's played here. Darryl Young, if he knows anything about Hawaiian people, Hawaiian homelands, and the process and the long lines and the harm that he's caused, that alone would motivate him to be honest and straightforward. He would say to himself, we don't have any more time to assault the intelligence or insult the people of Hawaii. We don't have that much time now. Let's do something that's right. Let's go pono. But instead, you bring in Puni Aloha Chi. You remember now, they kept a great secret. They sat and watched Nestor Garcia go to these meetings at the Kapolei Chamber of Commerce and make that money, make that loot. Can't say that they were had an obligation, but I think they walk in through the door, sleazy. Good morning, Carl. Do you have a comment or question?
What's up, Carol Cox?
You got to give me some talk here. What, are you listening in?
No, but I wanted to call in and like, are you talking about the Christopher Didi case or something? Or?
No, but what, you have something on the Christopher Didi you want to share? You have an opinion?
Yeah.
Go ahead, shoot.
I was going to say that, like, he shouldn't have brought his gun. Like, he shouldn't have, like, he should have, you know, he had a gun, right?
Right. Take your time. Go ahead.
Oh, how you doing, Kaka?
I'm fine, brother. Go ahead. Don't rush yourself. But what is it? He shouldn't have taken his gun?
He shouldn't have even brought his gun to McDonald's, and he shouldn't have, like, shot Colin Elders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you want to bring your gun and shoot a guy, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, always remember, Jacob, that when a special agent go to buy a hamburger, there's always a threat to his life. So that's why he's able to claim to buy this hamburger. He feared for his life. And so the listeners out there, that's the old telltale sign that he knows he's guilty as hell. He knows that he murdered this man, because that's what they teach you. You know, if you really want to get out and you shoot someone, you say, I feared for my life. Well, if you feared for your life, you would have stayed in. And if you feared for your life, you wouldn't have gone drinking. And if you feared for your life, you wouldn't have gone out and carried a gun, because you crossed the line. So, but again, thank you for your comments. Anything else?
Hey, Carol, you know, on Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
you know, I went to the Mililani football game, the Mililani High School Trojans football game.
Mm-hmm.
We played against Punahou, even though we lost.
Oh, well, you must have didn't cheer loud enough, brother.
I was cheering. I was saying, go Trojans. We're cheering defense.
Jacob, that's not enough. You're going to have to take pom-poms and paint your face gold and, you know, black and gold, man.
I don't have pom-poms.
Well, you better get some, because I'm going to buy some. We need to motivate those boys.
Are you at the Mililani games all the time?
Not all the time, but I'm always cheering them on. I went to a school that was called the Trojans, so any Trojan is a good Trojan.
Was it like the USC Trojans?
Trojan is a Trojan, brother.
Yeah, I know, but, like, if you go to the game, like, if I go to the game and you go to the game, I might want to see you there.
Okay, well, just look for the good-looking guy.
Oh, are you the good-looking guy? Are you the good-looking guy?
Yeah, the smart-looking too, okay? So anyway, thank you for your call, all right?
Okay, you see, brother.
All righty, you take care. All right. Anyway, I stay away from the Eldritch thing, because, I mean, first of all, the party that's guilty is the state, you know, the prosecutor, or who's bringing the charge and limiting you to one charge. That is what I shared with you before. This consistently, when it's people of color involved on the receiving end of the bullet, you think there's discrimination, you try to wade through it. But that's a form of discrimination. When there's a black child missing, they may send out one greyhound dog or a French poodle looking for him. But when there's a white child missing, and don't let it be a white girl, they send a herd of dogs, herd of cows, and 1,000 people with rifles and guns. And they plaster her face all over the place. So when it comes to prosecution of these cases, where people of color or low income, or whether you're white or black, it's economics or race or what have you get little resources, and you get these strange things. When you're prosecuting someone, you want to give consideration to all. So when you limit what someone can decide on, you in essence have thrown in the towel to submit that it's up to them, and you don't want to prosecute. The man should never have had a gun when he walked in with his gun after consuming alcohol. And by the way, that's a common practice, that when you're on deployment or on TDY, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that as an angel I speak to you this way, because I found myself on occasion, whether it was undercover, whether you have one drink or whatever, and I did in the younger days, thinking that that was okay when you deployed to go on TDY, you found yourself gravitating with the older agents who had systemically and all the time would go out and after work after you completed your testimony or your surveillance or your arrest, it was commonplace, and it is still commonplace, to strap on your gun because you fear for your life, and you walk in the bar and you sit there and drink with the other guys, and you fear for your life. So I ain't buying it. This is just watch it, and I hope the outcome is that we learn from it. And no man should be able to drink and create trigger a debate that whether he was right or who started the fight. If you intoxicated, and I don't want to get into why they didn't test him, but he admits to drinking. So anyway, that's the way it is. And by the way, speaking of all of that, I'd like to tell you that movie, The Butler, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But I only recommend it to those that are willing to accept that racism isn't over. It's an ugly thing amongst us all. And you can learn something. If nothing else, you can be entertained. But if you're afraid of the N-word and all of that, and you incorporate that in your language, don't go, because it won't serve any purpose. But if you just want to reflect back, and it might bring you to midway in the road where you'll get an idea of what's going on in these times, and you'll get an idea of why there's one portion of the aisle, one side of the aisle, discussing racism, and then the other side saying, we don't want to go there. That's old story. But the reality is, it's there. We still have people shooting people in hamburger shacks. We're still shooting people and find out they got Skittles in a hoodie. So, but if you really, and I suggest those of you that want to go and see it and take lots of napkins, because I cried for many reasons, because I'm being part of that as it grew and changed, and seeing the Freedom Riders come to my hometown and all of that. That is worth it. So if you're the American that wants to think about it, and remind you now, this is a movie, it's taken from a free story, you know, people, directors and producers, they take the liberty of telling a story a certain way. But there's a lot there. And so I say that, given the fact that we have this elder thing here right at home, and remember, see, we were watching the Florida on TV, oh, what's happening on the mainland? And meantime, look at the difference. What kind of play do we get here? We've heard that Eldridge was raised a ruckus somewhere and what have you. Isn't that funny? But so the key element is that all you have to declare as a special agent when you want to shoot someone that probably clouds the issue right away is that I feared for my life. That's a standard statement. If you can make that declaration, you got a chance of getting off. So, anyway, if you think O.J. was guilty, and I don't know what to say about this situation. But we'll be back in the next hour. 524-1080, The Carol Cox Show.
Trust my baby, she always look out for me. But that sweet, oh, it's so good to me. I can feel it. I shake it all.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
And good morning again. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I hope that some of you are adjusting to the new hours, but it's all good, and allows me a little more time to sit and write and review some of the things I'm one of those guys that like to work up until the last minute, piecing things together. I don't know if it's habit or form, but it works for me. Anyway, a caller asked if I was going to be talking about HPU. What they were alluding to is that I am looking into, I received some reports that in the recent past there's been an exodus of the allegations of the report, and I haven't confirmed, and I'll share with you what I was attempting to do. As we know, the Aloha Towers and the monies that were being tossed around and HPU acquiring, someone wrote and said that there was, and I've been following HPU for a while with some other concerns and all types of things, but in this one it was that there was a large firing, the allegations were, the report. So I attempted, I sent the HPU a letter last week and asking if they could just simply confirm that these individuals worked there or currently or presently work, or currently or past and previously worked there. And you know, as it is, these institutions now, higher learning, you always can expect the brilliancy. This is a message I got from a gentleman named Todd Simmons. He's the Vice President, University Marketing and Communications, Hawaii Pacific University. And he states, I left a message for you a moment ago, but I'm following up in writing as we're having phone difficulty, blah, blah. I head up communications for HPU and am in receipt of your email yesterday to President Bannister. I'm not sure what matter you are preparing to discuss on your show this Sunday. Can you clarify? With regards to the individuals named in your email, it is not our practice as a private employer to release information about current or former employees due to confidentiality and privacy considerations. But there is a larger issue here that you're trying to get at. But if there is a larger issue here that you're trying to get at, please advise, and I'll do my best to provide clarity. Well, as a brick in the wall, if I can't get the basic information, we'll go at it alone, and then we'll be talking. I won't go into details right now. I'm still preparing because it was a simple request for these people working there. And it was some other issues raised, and so I'm checking. There's a couple of federal agencies that were reportedly involved, and I will be continuing my efforts to get the information. And as soon as I do, it was, and why is this important? You know, Governor Abercrombie had the people there from HPU in his office signing some proclamations, some declaration some while back. So we just want to know if it's taxpayers' dollars involved, and if you interact with our government, even though you're a private institution. And by the way, their accreditation is up for reaccreditation. So that's another thing that I was doing some research on in some of the comments. So right now, I won't for the caller that was interested, I appreciate your interest, but, you know, when people throw up the screen, that's an invitation to me. I just don't cotton to the behavior of, you know, out-talking you. And, in fact, he called me up, and this is rare, but it's my practice personally. When you begin to disrespect, when I've made a logical and an educated attempt to reach out, being respectful, and then you're insulting, I end the conversations quite quickly. So that's why they make that end button. So anyway, if you're offended, I don't normally behave that fashion, but when you show disrespect on a simple matter, I know how to draw to a close real quick. So anyway, Mr. Simmons, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, please, I would like to ask that you would just provide that information, or I'll have to go with what I have. Thank you. So anyway, there's a lot going on here, and the early hour I was talking about the Pasha, Apacia, and the Hawaiian homelands, and we'll continue to follow that. I think it's important that we do, and I don't know what the solution is, but I think come Monday, which tomorrow, I think that we should see that that gate is welded shut that we talked about, that allows these folks to come, and that I think that the Department of Transportation, the governor, should get involved, intervene, and someone's head needs to roll. Because not only is it circumventing or avoiding the inspection, DOT inspection stations, what it means is that these trucks could be unsafe. If their loads are too heavy and overloading the axle, they could break, cause a flip over, exposing you, the unsuspecting driver or citizen driving down the road, not knowing that this truck is headed for the portal, so that it could avoid. And these trucks, I'm told that many of them, not just road and highway builders, but a number of them that uses, are also not up to par in inspections and safety. So this is, Mr. Caldwell, if you're listening, or your sentries are listening, please, I sent you a copy of my earlier complaint to the governor, and I hope that you feel that you have, I didn't know you were writing and going to appear on behalf of these people at Road and Highway Builders, but being that you did, I think you now have a specific interest and an obligation to the public to ask of Road and Highway Builders to either come clean or give back the contract. But we can't imagine this company also, by the way, if you go Google KHON and Road and Highway Builders in Kailua, you'll see there've been complaints, and Cynthia Thielen, Representative Cynthia Thielen, had assisted some of her constituents in filing complaints and raising issues about this company and its behavior on some of the contracts in Kailua. So just keep in mind, this is just information, and you can do with what you want to do with it, but I think that it's good information, and it can help you arrive at decisions. And Congresswoman Hanabusa need to distance herself and her husband from that property, and show good faith that if you're going to run a business and operate a business in a fair and competitive climate and environment, you shouldn't be using your congressional powers or namesake to get ahead of the line. As I told you, Kalaka Nui, a company, put in for similar activities, crushing rocks in the general area, not the same exact area, in the general area, and they told her she couldn't do that. But then they have now since brought in two. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, Mr. Cox, I might have an idea for you.
All righty, Curtis. How are you?
Pretty good. All your comments often seem to point in a direction of, let's say, that there's corruption in the government, and there might even be mafia-type behavior in these relationships with private industries.
Mm-hmm.
How good is our state sheriff, and how good is the militia he has developed or could develop?
Oh, Curtis, you sure straining my brain. Well, just remember, John F. Sousa was a former sheriff high up in the ranks.
Yes, I just wanted to throw that on the table. I really know that question kind of coming out of left field, but maybe.
Yeah, no, that's a curve. Yeah, but it's a good question.
So I'll listen off the air and see if you can put it together.
Now, in a base, still in terms of baseball, would that be a spitball?
No,
I mean,
sir.
That's a fastball.
Yeah, fast knuckleball, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, how good are they? I don't know, because it seems to be that this is the sheriff himself, a former sheriff, or a deputy or a director of it or whatever. I don't know. I can't recall his actual ranking.
Yeah, but I just know sheriff's supposed to be the good man in town.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to have a strong militia.
Mm-hmm.
And the cooperation between a good sheriff and a strong militia gets rid of a lot of the mold, mildew, and grime.
Yeah. Well, I think they probably forego the sheriff involvement and bring in Westbrook Securities. Hey, Westbrook probably has a greater connection in warding off trouble. And because he, you know, has
that's
a relationship.
Metaphorical. I'm missing the point.
Well, Westbrook is a friend, as he said. He's not a relative of Mufi Hanneman, but he had direct access to Mufi Hanneman, got special favors, and has a number of contracts and with a security company, which falls under his wife's name, Joanne Westbrook. So,
is the sheriff here voted?
No, he's appointed. He's appointed. And on the mainland, they're voted for, many of them.
But they're appointed out here.
Yeah.
All right, well, good. I appreciate letting me drop the bomb on you. And, I'll be listening.
And we talked yesterday real quickly. I couldn't find the time to do that Michael Medved thing, but I thought maybe if you'd like to, you can share that. I was going to later on ask you to call in because I know you're listening. So you want to go ahead, and now that you've thrown one curve at me, throw me a knuckleball.
Yeah, man, this is the world turned. The worm turned. I mean, the future of history has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Farrakhan came out and took a bite out of the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the unemployment rate amongst the black people was at 12%. He promised to repair these kind of things. And since his administration's been in place, it has gone up to 13% instead of down to the 7% promised percent unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was very, very, very interesting that Louis Farrakhan, who would have been Obama's torch carrier for the years that Obama's been in the administration, has turned around. Now, I listened to Michael Medved all week. I'm not sure, was it the Monday show, the Tuesday show, or the Wednesday show? But one of the shows in the first hour, he's got a sound bite. If he's got archives on his website, you can hear Reverend Farrakhan making the comments against the Obama administration, which shocks
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
I still like the way Obama speaks. I still like the way he thinks. I really admire the worldly experience he brings to the table and that he's a reference kind person and lawyer. But, wow, I thought the world was really changing when Farrakhan said something like that.
It is, and the world really changed when Michael Medved and the other right-wingers start to quote Louis Farrakhan. You know, I'm just simply impressed myself because, you know, but that's welcome to the world, the real world. If there are people of color striking down one another, they'll get quoted.
Yeah.
But if they're talking against the system, you know how they've dogged Louis Farrakhan, I think, that, and these are the same crowds of people, that same Congress. Maybe Obama probably could get a couple more jobs as his butlers or something if the Congress, Republican right-wing Congress, would step aside or be fair-minded. But remember, they declared that they were going to be the death of Obama's success. I'm paraphrasing these things, but you understand?
Yeah.
So I'm always on guard when I hear a Medved or Russ. That's like Russ Limbaugh saying he'll just have fallen in love with Louis Farrakhan.
No, I think Michael Medved was just being fair, giving both sides of the story, and that story came up.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It is Obama is lacking, and I don't agree with his drones and the many other policies that he has. But I'm always worried.
I want to pray for him.
Yeah, well,
for our country. Yeah. Because you know what I hear tell is once a president's inaugurated, he sat down in front of the CIA and they show him the JFK assassination photo
mm-hmm.
and says, "This can be you. Now
mm-hmm.
sit down, shut up, and do what we say."
Yeah, but
what
photos were they showing before the camera was invented, or what photos were they showing?
Before they assassinated JFK?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever the so-called Rothschilds, Warburgs, Windsors, all those big bank families.
Yeah, well, you know. It's
fear and fear and all that.
Yeah, it's good, and I welcome Farrakhan's or any other con artist that would come along and present it, because it's what's being said. We weigh that and then move on, and Obama has not delivered as he promised. And I agree, but it didn't take Farrakhan and it didn't take Medved to tell me that Obama had failed. Guantanamo and all kinds of things that I'm sitting here. But on the other hand, it would be okay. I'd embrace everything they say if it were not that how they behaved before he become president. And you know, many of them have gone as stooped as low as talking about the first ladies behind. you know, how big it is and all that insulting thing. So I just can't one day use a container as a toilet and then the next year use it as a drinking fountain. I once you fouled it, foul mouth the president with craziness and stupidity, I'm reluctant to accept anything you say in the future, right?
Well, the people were controlled and scared for ancient thousands of years of histories from the classically priest called the Medes study in astrotheology.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have the media today.
Right. Well, yeah, Muse is northeast, west, and south, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so. But anyway, thank you. I'm going to move on, but if you got anything else, go ahead and feel free to. Oh, by the way, you and I are chatting back and forth here. Did you know, and this was just a cursory glance at through looking at some research I'm doing in the Caldwell administration. Why would Booz Allen be donating money to Kurt Caldwell for his campaign?
Oh, man. The only thing I can say about secrecy is that they let them go, let the secrets out, because it keeps being more expensive to keep them. So that's a way of controlling costs.
Yeah, but why would Kurt Caldwell be in receipt of money? Are they trying to buy software or sell software to listen in on us? Or what's the deal? I mean, I know they probably offer some other services.
How much more time do we have?
How much time do you want to take?
Okay, because I'll tell you the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center and tie it into the Xerox shooting out here.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been any secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
Xerox, the original company with the photocopiers, there's billions of pages of information captured, stored, and processed. Then Xerox made the Palo Alto Research Center, where they invented the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Gates and Steve Jobs went down there and learned about mouses and drop-down menus, and then they went off into their merry little world. Xerox never really learned how to profit off of their discoveries at the Palo Alto Research Center.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy, Byron Uzuzugi, he was a nice guy. Everybody knows that. He collected weapons. He fed fish. He was a good man. And the tell is, and the people he didn't shoot at Xerox, that was a nest of spies in the Pacific.
Yeah.
That's my bet. So why is Caldwell taking bets or something like that? Because it's one crazy merry-go-round out here, and I just don't know how to name all the horses yet.
Well, you got one life to live, and I suggest don't live it thinking about Xerox and all that. There's enough reality right here before us, and I applaud Bill Gates and Jobs for going to that meeting, because they have enabled guys like myself who can at least disseminate information by using that mouse. And I that's the upside of whatever the conspiracy is. It has a social media that we can talk and exchange, even though the bigger media failed to do that. So even though it may have been a conspiracy of sort with the computer companies, let's look at the good of it. Look at Egypt, but the original. Look at the social media and the contacts. So thankfully, they did go to that meeting and sit with those spies and the manipulators. And at least now, we didn't have that ability to just hit a button and say, hey, world, this is what's going on. But some of that.
Spies leaking information save government's money.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
You're right.
Spying is as old as Xerox's mimeography. And there's a wonderful book called The Dealers of Lightning that explains the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center story. That's just a bone that's extra for people that want to know the story about that.
Well, here's what I would suggest, and as you and I have talked over time, give people something that they can incorporate in their lives. Because when it's all theories and the building's falling down and little grandma dressed in a pink nightie was the real culprit, I get a little worried there, because in our daily lives, our power cost is going up.
Yep.
Our politicians are stealing from us right from under our noses, and we're out talking about Xerox.
The working poor are everywhere, and if you want to get a start in doing something good for people, get rid of the plate lunch and start serving nutritious food.
Yeah, well, anyway, let me get off of here, and I got another call, and we'll talk to you later, brother. Thank you.
Bye.
Aloha. Bye. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Well,
you earlier about the whole Tulakia with the Oahu County Democratic Party. And
you mean yesterday? I hadn't gotten to it yet.
Oh, I read it on your...
Oh, yeah, I see. I was going to talk about that, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I meant, shall I call back?
And no, you're on the phone. Go ahead and share with you what...
Okay.
There's no practice here. No, we just talk.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, hang up.
Well, okay. So, I read what you wrote,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're spot on. And there's only one little Tulakia here that was totally overlooked at that meeting,
mm-hmm.
and in the media. And that is the GOP nationally has moved or is in the process of moving to have a constitutional amendment stating that marriage is between a man and a woman and doing away with gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, the bill that Gabbard proposed was exactly that. No more. And it was to put on the next election on the ballot to ratify
mm-hmm.
that the state would say that a marriage is between a man and a woman, which was part of the national movement.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talked about it.
Right.
Nobody.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up, being the first on that, because here's what I would say. It is so much in line and supports what I was going to discuss. This is why when people present the truth that's not the truth, then others, you leave yourself open, because the reality is these things were going on. This committee in the Democratic Party, and I have the document I was going to read, met all of that. But Neil Abercrombie, your governor, it's not the Republicans who we should fear. We should fear ourselves, because we knowingly allowed Neil Abercrombie to force and threaten the complainants to drop their case. And then we're putting on a face that, in fact, this is what was really going on, because a caucus can't file the complaint, but an individual can. And so, therefore, as a result, the complainant is going to drop his case. Let's just ask Neil Abercrombie to tell us, we can cut to the chase, but when we behave this way, this is how anyone, Republican, Green Party, will defeat you. And this is why we're all nervous now, because we did it to ourselves, so to speak. We still won't stand up and openly admit, none of the Democratic Party, because they ignored their very own investigative committee. Am I right?
Well,
I mean, this
yes.
is what the document says. The document says they ignored it and went ahead and voted to dismiss the case against Gabbard. And so when you convene a party,
no one tied what he did to the national movement.
I was saying to them at
that meeting.
Oh, well, then they shouldn't be going. We need to go over to the elementary school and find some new leaders.
So, no, not just the, quote, leaders, but if you had listened to the testimony,
mm-hmm.
and when they're saying, well, how can we get in the way of an elected official presenting a bill? You know, well, it was more than just a bill. And
mm-hmm.
that was the thing that no one addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then listening to the testimony, which I did.
Right, well.
Listening to the testimony, it seemed to me that they went, and it is deliberate, they went down a totally different road than the real issue. And they were led down a road. And they followed down a different road,
mm-hmm.
not where you and I
mm-hmm.
said
said they should.
In regards to legislators, here's the discussion and response. I was going to read many of these comments. Items 1, the Hawaii State Constitution confers on legislators absolute immunity or actions taken in the course of their members' legislative functions. A bill introduction is clearly within the scope of legislators' duties. And this is what the investigative committee commented on. They agreed, but note that it does not prohibit them from not introducing something that conflicts with the party platform. Members are required to support the platform. So there is no debate. And that's the sad part of this, because it's impacting, at the end of the day, it's impacting people that should be able to marry who they want to, when they want to, and how they want to. That's the bottom line. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
The Democrats should own up to this. They're just simply have gotten too cocky, too lazy, too just completely misguided. And they won't stand up and tell the truth. Regardless of what happened, how we hash this and interpret it and what went on, Neil Abercrombie was using his heavy hand to demand that the complainants drop their case.
Yes.
And so we can run around and upside and backwards and all, and then worry about what the Republicans done until we come to terms that we do it to ourselves, because we have become so what? We're not even misled. We're not being led at all. It's individualism taking advantage of the common needs of the people.
Well, what bothers me most about this is to take a brand as big and as old as the Democratic Party and what it, quote, stood for, and totally ruin it, misuse it, drive it into the ground. And there's too many of us who sacrificed, too many people died for the rights that we have. You know, since 1776, we've been fighting for rights that only straight, white, male landowners had. You know, even white men that didn't have land couldn't vote.
Well, let me get to this other point.
So when we get to this point and totally misuse it, just drive it into the ground.
Well, I would submit and suggest that everybody that care, look across the aisle and tell their friends, we've screwed the people. We, not the Republicans.
No, we did it to ourselves.
We're doing it to ourselves. See, that's the problem. It's this thing didn't die. It's got its own legs, this thing called the Democratic Party that we see. It has its own leg. It has its own character. It has its own sick ways of defrauding people. When the president and the Supreme Court rules and makes statements in support of same-sex marriage, and this, quote, Democratic Party in Hawaii for 40-some years is lethargic and got bricks in their pockets, they're not here to do any good for the people. They're good for themselves. And that's the bottom line. And I'm not lecturing you, what I have in my hands here says to me, I want to scream. Because even right now, we're saying what the Republicans are doing. That's just downright neglect and not accepting responsibility.
It is. And I agree with you. And when Gabbard requested admission to the Democratic Party, there were only two of us. Only two of us that said no. Only two.
Yeah.
And everybody said, oh, he'll be okay. He'll change.
But I don't want to get in. This is more important to convey.
That goes to exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but let me finish this, because this is more important. I don't want to be theoretical. I want to share with the public so that they can go away with specifics. I don't like to throw out junk. So here, the Hawaii Supreme Court has reaffirmed that legislators are protected under absolute immunity from exercises performed during the course of legislators' duties. Comment by the investigative committee. They agreed. However, the DPH is a domestic nonprofit organization. Most of the general public don't know that the Democratic Party is just nothing more than a nonprofit. So when a legislator crosses that threshold and joins it, he's joining a nonprofit organization, and he agrees to adhere to the bylaws of that. And so it goes on to say, Nonprofit Corporation Act and the IRS 527 Nonprofit Chapter, blah, blah, blah. The bylaws of the DPH were established in accordance with the 414D and require members to attest to adherence to the constitutional bylaws. Any member, including a legislator who does not support the party platform, may be the subject of a complaint. So, when the governor, a Democratic elected governor, a Democratic Party governor, calls around and won't let this process, and when that committee sits there and supposed to hear this and weigh the facts based on its own investigative committee and ignores that, I'm sorry, I don't want to know where the Republicans are. I'm worried about the Democrats. I just got to be honest with you.
Well,
and remember, you and I sat in there and struggled through the voting rights, the voting debacle, Democrats. So until you and I call a spade, then we're playing cards with bent cards.
Well, now, if you'll remember, because you sat there with me every step of the way, and it was me and two Republicans that complained about what happened with the voting debacle. And when I filed a complaint against the party, followed all the rules, the complaint against the party, they did the same thing to me.
Yeah. Well,
you know, to stop the complaint and don't do this and whatnot.
Well, I'm going to post this up on the website, carolcox.com, so the public, if they're interested. And if you want to see what they call, I don't know how to put it. If you want to see what you think might be the Democratic Party, think again. And I'm always warned, and with great concern, that when a party tells me to watch out for the other party, and I feel something in my pocket, and it feels like a hand, and it's the guy standing next to me telling me to watch out for the other guy, I become a little worried. And so in this situation here, membership in this type of organization is voluntary. Any person is free to either join or not join, or resign if a member. So Gabbard could have stepped out, because it's just a nonprofit organization. Didn't require anybody to convene. He could have stepped out. But the committee decided that the investigative, they gave their reasons and said that, and being that we're talking about this, I'll read it later, but that Sharon Haar is the one who introduced it, and Gabbard was just wrote a complimentary bill or in the Senate. But so if Gabbard, all I hear is Gabbard, Gabbard did this, Gabbard did that. Well, what about your illustrious Sharon Haar?
I'll tell you.
I mean, no. Do we sharpen our fangs and do we look at her equally, or do we say, well, because Gabbard was once a Republican and now he's an anti-gay person, and so, but we're not going to mention Sharon Haar because she's Democrat.
No, put her in the same basket. No. Let me tell you, she's first of all a very sharp attorney, so she asked that her case be heard in October and separated from him.
But they weren't obligated to entertain that. They could have said, no, get out of here, we want to hear it today.
No. That was part of the investigative.
But she asked for that, right? But they
asked,
was there a guarantee that she would get it?
Somebody gave it to her. Okay. Now, that was prior to Saturday's meeting.
Being
the sharp attorney she is, she knew that whatever the decision was made against Gabbard, she could come and say it was prejudicial, and you know, she could really
throw her
way out of it.
I'm feeling like the folks in Texas. I'm being filibustered here, but let me get on to the. I don't really care what they said or didn't say. I want to adhere to this document, which is the truth and the telling part of this.
If we can speak
in that vein, this is how we educate the public. I you know, all of those people are nice people, and you leave it up to them, they got some good in them, but they're harming gay couples, and they're offending me as a free person, as a democratic person in a free country. I want rights. I want a witness in my time that everybody enjoy their free rights. And those of you that don't think it's rights, that's up to you. But here, in the instant, here's the latter occurred in the case of Gary Aquino, who resigned from the party following the initiation of a complaint, with the result that he was no longer subject to the complaint process. See, they know this, and they don't need the governor's intervention. So in the instant case, respondents exercised their legislative duty by introducing or co-introducing a bill which would have called for a constitutional amendment allowing for the people of the state of Hawaii to vote on the issue of same-sex. So right there tells you that's consistent with Prop 8 in California. Where were the Democrats? You know where they were? Because they're so busy stealing and lying and trying to keep their jobs that they've been given that this is where we are today. And then the sound goes out, the alarm. Republican alert, Republican alert, right-winger alert, right-winger alert. And we all go, okay, let us know when they get closer. That's how silly this process is. And so until we as Democrats, and I say that because I hadn't changed parties yet, but we as Democrats, until we decide to start spanking our own and slapping the snot out of these guys and firing them and holding everybody accountable, don't worry about the Republicans.
Well,
there's only five of them here anyway, if that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who should we really worry about, the army of 60 or the group of five?
Well, let me tell you, I sat there the whole 4 hours listening to the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that could vote, because this is Oahu County, not the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
It's Oahu County.
Right.
And those people were district chairs. So that means that they are in a leadership position. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not the rank and file, the leadership position. And listening to their testimony and how strange it was and how uninformed it was, how uneducated, it is that scary.
Mm-hmm.
That is scary. It's like, how can you be in a leadership position and it was just scary.
Yeah.
What else can I say?
Well,
you listen, and it's so uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
The document you're reading was well crafted, well researched. I thought it was an excellent document.
Yeah, and I applaud that body that did this. It's a report of the investigative committee in the matter of complaint by party member Michael Galoyu against members of the state Senator Michael Gabbard and Donna McCardo Kim and State Representative Sharon Haar, Hemi J.C. Aquino, Karen Awana, Ty J. Key Collins, Cullen, Ken Ito, John Mizuno, Calvin K.Y. Say, Mark Takai, and Cliff Tsuji. And again, these are Democrats, and they were the ones that a complaint was brought against. So, with all due respect, and don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting you or any of the Democrats, but let's call it what it is. These were Democrats.
Yes.
That have been screwing the people, and so let's hold it right there, because
there's no question about that.
Because we if the Republicans do come, who do we turn to? Let's just say if they do come.
How many of those? And you know this to be a fact. How many of those that were in that list that you just read that were elected A on a low voter turnout and B decided to take the D?
Mm-hmm.
Because that means they could get elected if they had an R next to their name. And Sharon Haar didn't have a D or an R.
Right. But
campaign.
But how many of those?
So how many of those are real Democrats? I doubt it.
Yeah, but how many of those would never have been voted in if we, the Democrats, had been honest up front? There wouldn't be any room for people to sneak in.
You're right.
But because the Democratic Party is so sleazy as we know it today, anything can become. They're driving the bus by, it seems, and looking at Republicans. Oh, you don't like where you are? You want to come and join us? Oh, but I don't believe in civil rights. I believe that the Lord and Jesus Christ did this, and it's an abomination to one man to love another man. And then, hop on. If that's all you're worried about, get on. We just need you to cover our asses when we want to screw the people. Karen Iwana, Joe Jervis, you know, whatever, and Jardine, and those people. That's what, Mike Gabbert, you know, we know you want to stick it to the gay community. We know that. You've already sworn to that. Your religious background, your belief. We know you, Mike. But hop on the bus anyway. We got a role for you. See, let's call it what it is. This isn't about Republicans and Democrats. This is about thieves and people that are devout in a religious belief that's going to screw us all. That's what's happening. And until Dante Carpenter, all those and people with the unions and all those guys that run out there and do everything under the sun and then holler, watch out for the Republicans. Nah, sorry. It ain't washing.
And then when you look at what is really going on and how uninformed our public is, which is deliberate, to keep them uninformed, uneducated, and then people go to that do vote, say, oh, I know him, his name is familiar, so they vote for him. They don't know a thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Well, I wish I had a call in a little earlier. I would give you more time on this. But this is the bottom line, and I say I post it up at carolcox.com.
Well, I read your post.
So,
excellent. Yeah.
So it's shameful that, you know, we should be screaming. Where was Hirano and all of these people? Way back. They've been lying to the public. Oh, well, you know, be careful. We don't want to make any noise right now because we think we have something in the works. Let's wait for August 9th. There's going to be a meeting. Now, Carolyn Galoyu, don't you go and sit in, because if you do that, it's going to make somebody look bad. You already look bad. Carolyn Galoyu was in her right to have a sit down and a protest. But guess what? The rest of the, quote, Democrats... Oh, no, Karen, don't do that. Well, you got to distance yourself from Karen. You know, she's a loudmouth. She's a radical. But we're here. We'll suck it up, and we don't give a damn about the gay community. We just care about our party, and our party is only a select few.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way, absolutely not, no way that Karen...
Today, having a luau.
Sure.
Yeah. At $50 each.
$60, I was told. I would have gone, but they didn't take food stamps.
No. Anyway, who ever heard of a luau on the second floor inside of Ward Warehouse? All the beaches, all the parks. My God.
What did you say? Beaches or beaches?
Beach.
And just kidding.
So they're hiding out.
Hey,
that's a hideout.
Wait now. Remember now. We know how they've been behaving here. They may be not aware that don't build a fire in the floor, because if you do, you know, can you alert them? I'm serious, man. These people, they need help across the street.
I couldn't believe that when... You know, okay, the governor, the beaches,
mm-hmm.
The waterfront is controlled by the state. All he had to do was snap his fingers, and there would have been a beach opened up for this luau.
But remember this, and I'll impart this knowledge on you. Whether it's cockroaches in a kitchen, cockroaches in a restaurant, or cockroaches in office, they're afraid of light. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So just remember that.
No, that's exactly what this hideout is.
They're cockroaches, and that's all they're doing. They're not standing up for the people. There's no way, you know, when you have this much effort, and even the Pope came out and spoke. Pope Francis came out and gave favorable words to same-sex or recognizing. You know, I'm sorry. It's time for everybody to just call it what it is, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry. That's the truth. The truth is the truth. The Democratic Party lied to the public and is still lying. They're sitting there right now. What it is now? Oh well, Maisie is saying something positive, and Colleen is saying something positive. But remember, she didn't care about it at first. She wouldn't even vote for Obama. Remember that, folks. I mean, it's in her right. And in that, remember, this is the same Colleen Hanabusa who had a comment to the effect that when Rex Johnson was hurling all the racist jokes and all in his state computer and all, oh, it's just a kid equivalent of guys are playing base, talking baseball or fishing. Colleen Hanabusa doesn't stand for the people. Never have, never will. Colleen Hanabusa stands for herself. And guess what? The rest of them are the same way. And if the Republicans were smart, they'd abandon all this talk about exporting Native people and people from the Mexican population and Hispanics. Many of them here, they have their ancestry in America. And guess what? If it was between me and the Republicans, I'd say to them, you need to show a little kindness. You could win in a heartbeat. We're looking for kindness. We're looking for, we don't want to be driven in the ground told us how bad we are, that our uncle is gay or our aunt is gay, and there it's an abomination. That is our aunt. That is our relative. They're our family. They're our friends, right? So if I could advise, if this could go over the air nationally, worldwide, and say, Republicans, you're shooing if you just showed some compassion. Because the rest of the guys, we know thieves. We're just trying to figure out a way to get rid of them. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was agreeing with you about Colleen, and I had one person say, well, why didn't the governor appoint her? That was Inouye's dying wish. And it's like, well, does he have... And my question to her was, obviously she didn't know Colleen, and B, why would in a democracy we be bound to the dying man's wish?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
why would that be?
Well, whether he's dying or not, the problem is Neil Abercrombie is looking for to take some of the loot and bring his rich boyfriends in too, and they're all going to have a big party. Take Kakaako. You ever see government work so fast in exchanging lands?
Oh.
Right, you see, but
and we're beginning to look more like Hong Kong every minute.
Yeah, but remember, and that's because of the buildings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but again, let's just remember, when someone tells me to watch out for Marsha, I watch out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're willing to at least come and have coffee with me, and I can walk, get from the table and walk away and come back and not die from being poisoned. But these Democrats, God only knows. Why in a culture, in a community, that a guy like myself, I go out and I find people are now using the trucking system and aiding another state agent, aiding one to avoid the other and defrauding the government. Why is it that a guy, me, uncovering, is told, reminded, be careful, they can kill you in a democracy?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And they do.
Well, that's that. They tell you that, but, you know, what good is it living in fear when you see all these things around you? And so I think the average citizen here in this state knows, gets the point. But anyway, I got 1 minute. Go ahead, and I'll let you close.
Well, I, first of all, thank you, absolutely thank you, for taking the time to do the investigation, not only this one, but all the investigations that you do. And how much it opens up the eyes of the public, because the state-run media will not tell us these things. And so I do thank mm-hmm. you for what you do, for taking the time to investigate and to tell the truth. So with that, again,
I'm sure that
your listeners will read the document that you put online, because it is...
I hope they do, and again, it might be a betrayal of the Democratic Party, but you know what? I want the public to know that Neil Abercrombie intervened in this, and so here's this one presentation that the media is talking about. You notice they never even bothered to ask, well, did any by chance, you know, we know how things work here, did any chance that anybody call you up and compel you or force you? And by the way, if you tell us, we stand by you, and if Neil... tries to fire you, or if someone tries to pull strings and fire you, we'll be there to make sure that he never lives that day down, you know. But you don't get that, see, because you won't get any...
They miss so much about this last election as to not be believable. The media just... I don't understand how these, quote, reporters...
Yeah.
Whether,
well,
do the job they do because it's not thorough.
Yeah. Well, I'm down to my last second here, so I will see you. And I'm going to talk about this again. And thank you, Marsh Joyner. Aloha.
Thank you.
Alrighty. So, folks, just remember, it's not the Republicans that we should worry about. It's the, quote, Democrat, and I don't even know what the Democratic Party is. But anyway, the Democratic Party of Hawaii is a nonprofit organization. You take it from there. Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.